Melissa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name,
Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Melissa Walker Campbell.
Glad you're with us with another edition of our Beyond the X's and O's segment right here on eRadiosports.com. I'm your host, Melissa Walker Campbell, and it has been a while since we've had the opportunity to catch up with Dallas Mavericks television play-by-play announcer Mark Folwell. And Mark,
it has been a while. Yes, it has. Yes, Cinco de Mayo was our last game. So
that's a very good memory, yeah. And a lot has transpired over the summer and the last few months. There's been a number of additions and subtractions, and as a result, 8 new players, 3 which are rookies, but the possibilities are endless, and we're very excited about the upcoming season.
That's a good way to put it. The possibilities are endless, and I'm sure that Rick Carlisle is thinking in his office just a couple hundred feet away from us right now. I'm sure he's thinking about all those endless possibilities and try to come up with something in his laboratory to make all those endless possibilities fit together. And the good news is we'll start to see how they'll all start coming together here very, very soon.
And I think Mark Cuban made a great point that they took a calculated risk, but sometimes the best deals are the ones that don't come into fruition and right. take place. And I know a lot of folks were perhaps disappointed about Deron Williams not coming to Texas, but we've got a lot of depth on this roster.
Well, certainly, look, there's no doubt about it that the Mavs wanted to sign D. Will. They made a pitch for him. It didn't work out. There was disappointment, but one thing I've seen in a long time in the NBA, and I've said this to people, and you know, I think you have to keep on reinforcing it, and it holds true during a season, and I think we're learning that it kind of holds true in all seasons now, is that there's just a lot of twists and turns that happen in every season. There's always something around the corner that's completely unforeseen. It might be a good thing that happens to you. It might be a bad thing that happens to someone else. And for the Mavs, the offseason played out in a very similar fashion in that it didn't start off on a very good note. But there were the unforeseen twists and turns. I don't think anyone could have been able to foresee trading for Darren Collison and Dante Jones, getting O.J. Mayo at what would appear to be under market value, signing Chris Kaman, the amnesty bid on Elton Brand. A lot of things, you know, the Mavericks were very fortunate that they were able to put together, and they did a great job of recovering and instituting and implementing, I guess I should say, a plan B after plan A didn't work out the way they wanted it to.
And you know, Mark, you rattle off a number of the names, an influx of so many new players,
right.
and the Mavericks have had to recalibrate on many different levels. And I think what gives me a sense of comfort is that they're so interchangeable, the depth, the versatility with these players. You have a veteran player like Sean Marion that can defend 1 through 4 positions, from a Chris Paul
right.
to a Kevin Durant, but this new guy, this new kid on the block, Jay Crowder, he can play on the interior. I mean, I was in Vegas and got to watch him at the Summer League games. He was amazing.
Well, I think that, you know, at the recent press conference, Rick Carlisle sort of pointed at people down the line that were on stage and said, we've got a guy who can play with the 1 and the 2. We've got a guy who can play the 4 and the 5. We've got this. We've got that. You know, he likes versatility as well. And, you know, to speak to your point in particular about Jay Crowder, you know, he's another one of those guys. We don't know exactly what to expect. But if I looked at all 3 rookies that are sitting out there right now for the Mavs, then I would say if I were to have to predict one that would have the most likelihood of contributing in a real and tangible way this year, then I would say it would be Jay Crowder. That doesn't mean I think he's a regular rotation player, but I do think he has the capability to situationally help the team and sort of you know, you'll appreciate this name, Eduardo Najera. I know that will jive with your Sooner thing. Yes, absolutely. You know, Najera came in as a rookie, and he didn't play in every game. He didn't have a quote-unquote regular rotation spot, but he did have an opportunity to be an energy guy to come in off the bench and just change the energy of the game, change the flow of the game, just mess up the game. And I think that Jay Crowder has sort of those same kind of traits where he might be able to help in that kind of role. Again, it wouldn't be an every night kind of thing, but I do think that there's a possibility that Jay Crowder, more so than any other rookie, has a real and tangible impact on this team this year.
Mark, you've been covering the NBA for many, many years. It seems like that's more of the trend that the teams are taking on as far as securing players that can provide that versatility. And it's not in the front court, it's in the back court.
Well, look, it's becoming more and more of a playmaking league. You know, rule changes, just the way the game has morphed and evolved over the time. It's not nearly as much throw the ball to somebody down low and let them go to work. And, yeah, you know, elbow people and run the shot clock down and that sort of thing. It's just, you know, the game has changed. And so the ability to be able to put the ball on the floor, to be able to shoot from the outside, to be able to make plays and get other people involved because of your ability to break down a defense or your court vision or whatever the case may be, there's no question that, yes, versatility in the backcourt and the ability to do a number of different things makes you a more valuable player. I agree wholeheartedly on that.
Jason Kidd, Jason Jett Terry, very special players that have been a part of this organization, brought a championship to Dallas. They have now since moved on. And I thought it was interesting, you talked about the press conference from last week, and Coach Carlisle kind of provided a caveat and an admonition to not only the media, but the fans as well, that don't make necessarily the comparisons that they need to fill those shoes. The new players that have come in have their own vibe, their own dynamic, and their own skill set, and we need to see how he's going to tweak and plug them into the system.
Well, you know, Rick said, one of the most interesting things that Rick said to me was, if you go back to early July when the rookies had their press conference, Jared Cunningham, Jay Crowder, and Bernard James, and he said, one of the things that you sign up for in this business is dynamic change. And clearly, dynamic change has taken place, to say the least, with the Mavericks this offseason. But I do think that, look, all of those guys have had success to some degree and other spots. And I think it's a natural tendency where we all like to compare in sports and say, well, this guy is going to be the next so-and-so. And so there's always that natural comparison. The bottom line is the Mavs need guys who can play, and they need guys who are going to be able to do something that a Jason Terry did, and that is be willing to step up and take big shots late in the game. And it doesn't make them, quote-unquote, the next Jason Terry, although O.J. Mayo does have some strikingly similar statistics from his career arc pre-Dallas that Jason Terry did, and so that's why there's probably a natural tendency to compare those two guys. There's going to have to be a floor leader out there who's going to have to make good decisions and play good defense, a la Jason Kidd. Doesn't mean that he has to be the exact kind of player, but there is clearly a need to fill those two in particular roles on this team, of a clutch shot maker who can play off Dirk and a floor general, if you will, to run the team and get them into their sets and play good defense, because clearly, you know, playing good defense at the point guard spot is very, very important with the way the game is changing, as we talked about earlier, and playmakers and breaking people down off the dribble.
Talk about Coach Carlisle, and how it seems like he has the Midas touch, and he has throughout his coaching career, he's had to deal with, you know, roster turnover. We saw that at Detroit, but he and his staff, they have an awesome challenge presented before them, but somehow, some way, he's going to find a way to get it done.
Well, you know, I think if you talk to Rick, one of the most rewarding seasons, and this, of course, he would say this pre-championship, clearly the championship season was his most rewarding, but I still think he has a fondness in his heart for what he had to do to piecemeal it together whenever Indiana suffered all those suspensions in light of the malice at the Palace, the brawl in November of 2004. That 04-05 season, coming off a year where they had gone to the Eastern Conference Finals and won 61 games, that 04-05 season was pretty much, at least by all appearances, decimated whenever Artest and company got into that big brawl at the Palace and all the subsequent suspensions. But they managed to somehow find a way to, with duct tape and baling wire, hold the thing together that year. And they ended up going 44-38, made the playoffs as a sixth seed, and ended up upsetting the Boston Celtics in the first round. And that's just one example of several where, you know, his first year here, I thought Rick did a really nice job. It took him, and I think he would even admit this, and this is totally understandable, that it took him 10, 20 games to get a feel for kind of what team he had. And I think this happens in any season, but especially in his first season with a new team. You know, he got a feel 10 or 20 games into it for what kind of team he had. He started tweaking the rotation, changing the rotation, putting people in different roles. And after a slow start that year, starting 2-7, they ended up winning 50 games yet again. So Coach Carlisle and his ability to adapt and himself be versatile and resourceful, one of his favorite words that he likes to use. Look, I mean, he's the last guy I worry about, and I know that you know, he's going to be up to the challenge to see how all these new pieces should fit together.
Yes, he always talks about being a resilient, resourceful franchise. Yeah. But I think what's interesting, too, is his ability to connect to players. And one of the things I wanted to share with you is when I had a chance during the summer league in practice, when I introduced myself to Jay Crowder, I said, you know, what has your experience been like so far being here at Dallas? And he said, I feel like it's a part of a family, you know, coming home. And so, you know, as a coach, you know, he's able to pull the best out of his players by reaching in their hearts.
Well, that's the best thing. That's one of the most important things about coaching is getting, you know, the best out of people, getting the right people doing the right thing and getting the right people in the right place, doing the right thing at the right time. That's one Bob Ortegel always used to tell me.
We love Bob.
Yeah, right people, right place, right thing, right time. You gotta have all those things in order to be able to get the best out of somebody. And Rick's really done a very, very good job of that. And I think that if you've had a chance to be around Rick, you realize that, look, he loves working with young players. He loves the teaching aspect of the game. There are those, for whatever reason, I don't understand why, who thinks that he does not like working with young players, but he does really, really enjoy the teaching aspect of things. Your conversation with Jay Crowder clearly would speak to that. And it's great to hear, you know, I haven't had much of a chance to talk to Jay, but it is nice to see that, you know, he sees the whole Maverick thing as a family thing, because I think that's been one of the things that has made it work at such a high level for so long for this organization, is that there is a realization that chemistry is important. And chemistry is going to be important this year, and they're going to have, they're going to have all these new faces. We're going to have to try to find a way to come together over the course of training camp. But hopefully, that continued family atmosphere that's worked in a lot of years past here will work again.
Well, not to digress too much, but you know, Rick's learned from the best. I mean, Red Auerbach, Bill Fitch, Rick Pitino with New York, and we saw what Pitino did was able to do with Patrick Ewing and Mark Jackson and you know Billy Donovan at Providence or Nazee Muhammad at Kentucky.
Yeah, well, look, that's one of the most important things about coaching is, look, you've got to have a great. I mean, I think every coach would say that they had great mentors along the way. And Rick's no different than that. He does speak very, very highly of Bill Fitch. Chuck Daly, by the way, is another great coach that that Rick had the chance to work with. Larry Bird is someone who he had a chance to play with. And then Larry Bird went on to coach, and Rick was on his staff. So, you know, there are any number of people that you come across over your time in the game when you've spent as many years as he has, and you pick up something from all of the people that you come across. But clearly he's been lucky enough to be with some great coaches, and I think he would be the first one to admit that.
Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The work of FCA can be summed up in four words: coaches, campus, camp, and community. The four C's are vital in fulfilling FCA's vision of seeing the world impacted for Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches.
Let's take time to preview for all the Mav fans. Let's go on the inside, in the paint. Let's talk about Chris Kamen. 7 foot, 265. You like that big square body on the interior, but what I love and appreciate the most is the fact that he can stretch the D. He can consistently
hit that. Is he going to be okay that you said he had a big square body?
Oh, I don't know. He'll give me a reprieve in a second chance. Sorry about that, Chris.
Look, I'm thrilled to see that he's here. There's obviously a good synergy with Dirk from their time in the past on the German Olympic team. So I think it's great that Chris Kamen is a part of the thing. Offensively, his shooting percentages were a little bit down last year in New Orleans, but I think that probably was a function of that was not the easiest situation last year. They had a lot of injuries and they weren't the best team, and so he probably wasn't in the best position to succeed. But he did play quite well late in the season. And keep in mind that was after that they had told him for a while to go home while they looked for a trade option for him. They didn't find anything suitable. He came back late in the year and put up good numbers on a team that wasn't great, but they did give some teams a problem in New Orleans last year. There were many, many good Western Conference teams who went down there to New Orleans and lost over the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season, pardon me, the Mavericks being one of them. So I think that Chris comes here as somebody who has a great opportunity to play off Dirk and be someone who can help spread the floor because of his ability on offense. And, you know, if he can play some average defense, which he certainly has done that in the past in his career, then, you know, that will be good for Dallas as well. And maybe they can you know, put the right schemes and strategies in place to enhance his ability to play even better defense.
Perhaps an undervalued portion of his game is his ability to pass the ball. I mean, he's
sure.
really good at when the double team comes down, that he can provide the kick out. And, you know, he's going to have his eyes looking for Dirk.
Well, and the, you know, that's, look, that's important for any big man who has some ability to score inside. You're naturally, because of your ability, going to draw some second defenders and double teams. And so he's got to be able to do that. And so it's going to be incumbent upon others on this team to knock down shots when they get that opportunity. But Chris will be another guy who will get the pass, too, from when situations arise where Dirk gets double teamed. So I think that Chris is a really, really nice addition. Clearly, he wants to be here. He respects Mark Cuban. He respects Dirk. He's probably spoken about what, you know, I don't think I've ever heard him use the term family like you referred to with Jay Crowder earlier, but I'm sure that you get the vibe that he feels like that this is a place where he really, really wants to be. It's an organization that he respects. And, hey, I'm thrilled to have him. I think that the Mavs certainly going into the offseason I don't know what they foresaw, but to be able to upgrade the center position as much as they did with him and Elton Brand, who I'm sure we'll talk here about in a little bit, that's a very good get on both fronts.
And why wouldn't Chris want to be in the state of Texas? He has a true affinity for hunting, right?
Yes, he does. Yeah, absolutely. I've seen the pictures recently on Twitter. So, yeah, he's having a good time with that. It'll be time to get down to business pretty soon for him and everybody else. And so he's got to, you know, boys will be boys. We've all got to find a way to blow off steam before the real work gets started.
Well, Mark, I know that the fans are very anxious to hear what you think about filling the one slot. And, of course, at the point guard position, and Darren Collison comes in. He's received some tremendous tutelage from one of the best playmakers in the game, and that is Chris Paul.
Yeah, played with him for a year, I should say, and actually got a chance to start a lot that year. Chris Paul was hurt and missed a significant chunk of games, and Darren Collison ended up starting over 30, close to 40 games that season with the New Orleans Hornets. A lot of starts over the last 2 years with the Indiana Pacers as well, and started most of the games this past year, got hurt late in the season, a groin injury, and then ended up coming off the bench behind George Hill, but was still very productive in his time off the bench for Indiana and what was a nice little playoff run for them into the second round and giving Miami a pretty darn competitive series in the second round. So, in terms of Darren Collison, you know, he's got the ability to break down the defense. That lightning quickness, you know, is a decent three-point shooter, not somebody who takes a lot of them. I think he took right around 100 three-point shots over the course of playing around 60 games over the course of last season for Indiana. But it's a very nice addition. He spoke at the press conference recently about how great it was for him to play with Chris Paul and how much he learned from him. And the Mavericks feel like that he certainly had a nice career for his first 3 years. But to quote Donnie, he feels like, and they feel like, that he's now ready to take the next step. And I think the quote was, to spread his wings and fly. So we'll see if that happens here.
You know, and Donnie had also talked about all the new players that have come in, the professional integrity. And one of the things about Darren that I was impressed with is just how humble he is with his approach to the game. And he's trying to absorb. He's trying to digest as much as he can and learn the system.
Well, I think that, you know, a guy like Darren Collison, who's a young guy who's had a little bit of success, he realizes, you know, that that's what you play for, to win. And he sees that this is an organization that's won for a long time and won at the very highest level, obviously. So I can certainly understand why he's taking that approach, because he comes in here and wants to, you know, he doesn't want to be the guy where the winning tradition turns. He wants to be part of the winning tradition. There are big, I know that we've been cautioned not to say that so-and-so is taking this particular role, but let's face it, the bottom line is that there are big shoes to fill here with Jason Kidd no longer being here. And he doesn't have to do everything that Jason Kidd did, but he is going to be playing the same position. So some of those leadership roles clearly are going to fall on him. And so he's taking it very, very seriously. That's what a leader does, is, you know, he comes in and absorbs and learns quickly, because if he doesn't know the system, then it's going to make it awfully hard on everybody else. So that's a very, very important aspect of things for a point guard, clearly. And it's great to see that he's approaching it that way.
Well, one guy that is taking it very serious, and he arrived here in Dallas early, was O.J. Mayo. And I loved his quote at the media day, where he just said, you know, as long as he's been a part of the league, when he walks into arena, he looks up into the rafter to see how many championship banners are hanging. And so he's always had his eye on Dallas. And I really believe Dallas is a destination for him. He's going to be here for a while.
Well, I hope you're right. We'll see how this season plays out. You know, the one bad thing about it is, if he has a great season, then maybe he opts out of his contract and he hits the open market next summer and commands big dollars. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. That means he's had a good season. And that's all we can really deal with is what's coming up immediately for the Mavs this year. So I like O.J. Mayo. You know, for the last 2 years, he's come off the bench. His numbers weren't as good shooting-wise. His scoring numbers dipped, but that was a byproduct of the minutes dipping. He was still scoring at the same per-minute rate. The shooting percentages did drop some, but now he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be higher up the food chain in terms of the option he'll be on offense, and hopefully that will lead to better opportunities for him and an opportunity to raise that shooting percentage back up and have it, you know, in that 45% range where he had in the first couple of years in the league. But that's great to hear. Again, you know, all of those guys, I keep going back to that phrase, it's great to hear. But all those guys said a lot of things that were great to hear. And that was a very, very enlightening press conference. And I think that, once again, O.J. Mayo is a guy who's young. He's had been part of a little bit of success with Memphis going to the playoffs each of these last 2 years and beating San Antonio in a monumental upset in 2011. So he understands what this league is about. And if he can come in and help keep, you know, the winning tradition going here, then that's great for the Mavericks and great for him.
Let's talk about two players that have been a part of an incredible program. Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke Blue Devils. Elton Brand, I know that he's been a long time in the league, but Dante Jones as well. And that's what's really been neat about this particular system, is they continue to secure and pull players that have a good foundation, that have been a part of great programs. I mean, we were talking about Darren Collison, yeah, Ben UCLA. Howland, UCLA.
Yeah. Went to the Final Four.
Three times.
Yeah. Well, in the case of Elton Brand and Dante Jones, look, I think that playing for Coach K is a great thing. Elton Brand has come into the league and has been an all-star before. He's been a 20-10 and an average and a seasoned guy, so that's great. He was one of the best post defenders in the league last year. He ranked second in post defense in terms of percentage of times that the opponent scored against him. It was like 29.5%. Only Marcus Camby was better than Elton Brand in post defense last year when you look at the top 150 players in terms of number of post-ups faced. So it wasn't like he did it 10 times. And we're talking about somebody who was defending a lot of post-ups last year and percentage-wise was the second best in the league at it in terms of keeping the other player from scoring. So thrilled to have that kind of defensive ability down on the block. He can still rebound the ball well. He's got the ability on offense to be a pick-and-roll guy who can hit a mid-range jumper, and he's not the same player that he was on offense back in his heyday, but he's still somebody who can be effective in a bench role playing either the four or the five. Dante Jones, versatility again, can play two, can play three, can defend multiple positions, and will come in and, you know, will play with, you know, another Rick thing that he likes to say is play with force. And Dante Jones, because of his defensive ability, yes, he's going to be a guy who's going to play with force and is going to go out. You know, it says it's a hit-first league, and Dante Jones will be a guy who will come out on the defensive end of the floor and be a hit-first kind of guy.
Okay, Mark, tell all of our listeners and our viewers a little bit about, as far as the layout of the schedule. I think it really benefits and bodes well for them that they'll have an opportunity. I mean, Rick said they got 31 days before their first game, so they're going to be able to figure out the personality of this team.
Well, the trip to Europe will certainly be very, very intriguing. It's going to be hard to do work in some ways over there because there's going to be a lot of distractions. I'm sure a lot of NBA prearranged commitments that they'll have to do away from the practice floor and away from the game. But it will be a time, you know, long road trips. I always heard Don Nelson talk about this, that, you know, hey, I'm ready for this team to go out on a long road trip. We need to do that so we can have some together time and some bonding time. And they will have some together time and some bonding time when they go to Berlin and Barcelona. That will be a neat trip for those guys. It's going to be a really neat experience, but it's also going to be a chance for them to come together. And so that's great. And, you know, look, and another thing I should add, too, is, you know, just a few hundred feet away from us, not far from that laboratory where Rick is cooking up all of his ideas for the upcoming season, is the practice floor. And a lot of guys have already been in, and they're working together. It's a matter of fact, it's right back behind these blinds, back behind us here at the old number 7 club at American Airlines Center. The practice floor is down there, and there have been guys working out together and playing. And so there are, you know, there's already a chance to develop some of that chemistry. They'll have that chance to do it in Europe. Then they'll have 6 preseason games when they get back here. And the regular season hopefully affords the Mavericks a chance to hit the ground running because they play, I believe it's 8 of their first 12 games are at home. It's a significant chunk of home games early on. And I know that of their first 8 home games between November 3rd and November 24th, 6 of those 8 are against lottery teams from last year. Now, that doesn't mean those teams will be lottery teams this year, but they'll be playing a lot of non-playoff teams from last season on their home floor early. Doesn't mean that those are automatic wins or that you can take them for granted. But hopefully, if the Mavericks play to their capability, then that will give them a chance to round into form and hit the ground running and get some results, get some positive results on the floor early in the season, because that will help the team come together. Look, nothing succeeds like success, and nothing helps team chemistry more than winning does. So if they can win some games early, that's great.
Well, one of those those early games, of course, is against the Lakers. And you talk about how the landscape of the Western Conference has changed so much with the addition now of Dwight Howard now being a part of the Lakers. But it's a very physical league. And we talked about, you know, being combative and playing with force. And we saw how physical it was in the first round of the playoffs last year with Dirk and Kendrick Perkins from OKC. True?
Yes. Yeah, it was. It was indeed. Absolutely. And look, that's playoff basketball. Any year, in any round, at any level, there's no question that it's going to be very, very physical. And that's what a guy like Brand is for. That's what a guy like Dante Jones can contribute to. That's still what a guy like Sean Marion, because of his, and it's not that he's banging people out there, but, you know, he's certainly not shy about getting up into somebody on the defensive end of the floor and isn't going to back down from a challenge. So, look, the Mavericks have physical players. That aspect of their game, I think, is something that they realize is important from the championship season, and I think we'll see that they're clearly going to be focused on that this year.
Well, I'm excited, looking forward to it. And Mark, do you have a special message for the viewers out there where they can go and get their tickets?
Oh yes, 214-747 Mavs, Mavs.com. You know, Ticketmaster outlets. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff to see for this team this year. Four preseason games. We'll have them on television as well. Looking forward to the regular season games being on Fox Sports Southwest and the home opener is November 3rd against Charlotte. And like I said, early on in the season, the schedule hopefully sets up for an opportunity for the Mavericks to win a lot of games. And look, what makes your night better to come out and enjoy some fun of Mavericks basketball and see them win on top of that? It's a great experience, win or lose, but winning makes it even better. So hopefully there'll be a chance early in the season for people to come out and see some wins.
Mark, always a pleasure
yes.
when we can drop by and have you on
it.
Our radio
you got
show.
It. Happy
and
to do it anytime.
You bet. We look forward to your call. And join us online at eradiosports.com for more exclusive interviews.